Sister Eve, and we love all of our mothers. God bless you so much. I want to talk to you today for just a little while on Proverbs chapter 31 of the Proverbs in throughout this book, the last chapter 31 is very interesting. Hallelujah. And you can go ahead and sit down if you want to. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit. The first verse of this chapter speaks of the words of King Lemuel. It says, and the prophecy that his mother taught him. It's talking about a king, and it's talking about prophecy or teaching that his mother taught him. How many can be thankful today that your mother taught you something early in life? Hallelujah. She was the mother and the son was the king. And the king starts out the words of the king, Lemuel. But then it goes on to say the oracle or the teaching, according to the translation you use, the teaching that his mother taught him. This is the chapter that speaks of the virtuous woman, and it's amazing to read this chapter and see what we find in it. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. Hallelujah. In other words, it looks like at some time or another there were times that people sought for a woman that was virtuous. I guess it would be in this day and time so much of that. I'm glad we've got virtuous women in our church. I'm glad we've got mothers in our church. Verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Hallelujah. It's a powerful thing when a lady becomes a real mother. And I thank God for all the mothers that are in our church today. I want to talk to you about my mother. And before I get too strung out on talking about my mother, I want to talk about my wife. And she's top notch. She's unbelievable. Hallelujah. 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 This chapter we find in verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. But it talks about early in the morning she's awake and she's working and she's preparing for her household. And my wife is that kind of mother. I'm not going to praise her as a mother from my standpoint of, let me just say, she's not my mama, she's my wife. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, she's a wonderful, wonderful mother, and I appreciate her. I want to talk about my mother for just a little bit. Pray that the Lord would help me. And I want to talk to you about the things that my mother possessed and still possesses. She's 92 years old. She'll be 93 years old in about 6 months. She's going strong, especially physically. And we keep thinking, and not in rejoicing, but thinking of how terrible it's going to be for her to pass. And we get to thinking, well, this is it. And she just keeps on making a comeback. And I love my mother so very much. There were some things that she did not possess, just very quickly. She didn't possess the modern convenience, time-saving appliances, and all that kind of business. She didn't have the best of those things in being a young mother. She raised five of us children. She didn't ever have all the money that she needed, but she knew what sacrifice was. She knew how to count corners, and she knew how to make us feel good about it. We never did feel like we were deprived. At times when corners were cut that allowed us to go to youth camps and camp meetings, and we didn't stay in hotels, we stayed in a tent with an ice chest, and we were just excited to be there. And so we didn't have everything that maybe other people had, but we had a home, and we had a wonderful, wonderful mother that was beyond imagining. And so we never felt like we were victims or that we're inferior to anybody. We were raised to where we were taught that we could do anything. And when I was in the 10th grade, she helped me dream dreams. I started studying piano, music, trumpet, and would go weekly when there was hardly anything else. Somewhere or another, I talked her as we grew older into buying me a grand piano. And but anyway, the clothes that we had and the clothes that she had was not always the best. But I do remember there were some clothes that were brought in one day. My dad had been working. He was quite a hand at cabinets and woodwork. He was the best in Beaumont, Texas. He was known across that part of the world. And he came in from one of these multi-million-dollar houses, and he had a stack of dresses that he handed to my mother, and I can just remember how I was just blown away by these clothes, and several of them would have the diapers, the buttons would be covered with material. Hallelujah! And I was so proud of her. I won't tell you, just like my boys are proud of me as I'm stumbling around here. I was so proud of my mother. I was proud of her when she didn't have anything hardly that was beautiful to wear. But it just made me stick what chest out I had. When I saw her in these clothes, I'd never seen clothes like that in all of my life. But she didn't have the fine things of life. She went to the bargain counters. I don't think Goodwill was even available at that time. It was hard to even find used clothes. I mean, you had to just about wear them out in several places before you could find one that you could maybe try to repair and fix. But anyway, everything in life did not come to us early as far as things that the world have to offer. But what I want to talk to you primarily about very quickly is things that my mother had, things that really counted, things that was more precious than gold or silver, anything you could ever imagine. I want to talk to you about things that my mother possessed. One thing that my mother possessed was a Savior. She was a Christian, and she still is a Christian. And it's a wonderful thing for my mother to pray. Even now, almost 93 years old, she's very sensitive. And we'll pray, and then she'll just tell me, she said, you know, I just want to make sure that I make it. I want to be ready when the Lord comes back. I want to be ready when I face Him. I want to be ready. At the age of 12 years old, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name in a pond. It was a great moment for her life. It was almost 81 years ago when that took place. And there was a preacher that came through the country. And he was a prophet. He wasn't really that much of a preacher, but he could tap in on what God wanted. His name was Brother Duke. At that time, he was somewhere around 17 or 18 years old. He came to a place called Zavala, Texas, and he started a revival. And one night, he was laying hands on people. The place was crowded, and outside, there was more people standing outside than on the inside. And all of a sudden, it was just the way God was doing it that night. Every time he put his hand on somebody's head, they hit the floor. Weeping and crying and praying. And many, many people got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My uncle stood outside. This would be my great uncle. He stood outside looking in, and he was the type to make fun. He was poking fun and laughing and saying, "That preacher is pushing them all down when he prays for them." And maybe he was at the time, but I tell you what, Uncle Edward, he said, I'm going to go there inside and I'm going to show you. And so he went inside and he started working his way up as close as he could get to this preacher that was praying for everybody, and they was falling. And he thought it was real funny when Brother Duke reached out his hand, and with one finger, all of a sudden, instead of his hand, he took one finger and touched his forehead, and he crashed to the ground and was just in moments talking in tongues, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's been many, many years now, but I want to tell you, my mama still has old-time religion. She has a Savior. She's not afraid to pray against impossibilities. Hallelujah. And I remember years ago when I had this eye injured and they didn't think I would ever be able to see again. But there was an atmosphere that God had put in my life. And I think a lot of it was by my mother. Hallelujah. She was weeping and standing by me, and they were fixing to put me under and take this eyeball out and balance it on my cheek and sew up what was left, and I'd probably be blind. But I looked in the face of my mother that had put so much faith in my heart. I didn't understand why in the world she was behaving the way she was behaving. I said, "Mama, I don't know why you're crying." I said, "Jesus is going to heal me." Hallelujah. They put me on her. They sewed the eye up. Hallelujah. They put a patch on it. 14 days later, I came back to the office. They pulled the patch off to see how bad the vision was. I had 20/20 vision. A wonderful, wonderful miracle took place. Thank God for a mother. Hallelujah. That she was a child of God. She was full of faith. Hallelujah. My mother had a Savior that she was not afraid to look to and believe in. Secondly, mother had a church, and my mother had a pastor. Hallelujah. This was something that she possessed. Hallelujah. She had a church, and she had a pastor. We always went to church. I never remember one time missing church, and because, you know, I don't feel like going to church. You had to be sick not to be in church. Hallelujah. Never, never. I never remember missing church by just how that would even feel. That, well, you know, there's some of these teenagers, they think they got a choice on what they're going to do. You need to get a hold of what mama had. Hallelujah. I never remember the question being brought up in our home. Never are we going to church. I knew we were going to church because mama had a church and mama had a preacher. It wasn't a question if we was going to be in church when we had revival 7 nights a week. For weeks on end. It got into months, and every night we had revival.
I never remember any time that we missed revival because we said, you know, we've just been here too many nights. We're going to have to rest up. That's right. Our mother had a church, and she had a pastor. Hallelujah. And in revival times, when we'd get in school and you got five kids and you're trying to get them all ready, she didn't wait till the last moment to get things ready. I'd come in at 3:30 and she'd have all the clothes laid out on the beds. Because, hey, we're going to church. We're not going to wait till the last moment and say, you know, I don't think I'll go tonight. I don't really have time to get ready. I never remember a time that they missed church. Hallelujah, the clothes wasn't laid out. Supper was on the table in the late afternoon. Not at time to go to church, but it was laid out. And I want to tell you, we had some good beans and cornbread. Sometimes we didn't know what meat was for months on end. But I tell you what, it was good and it was cooked and we didn't feel bad about it. And we ate what was put before us because Mama taught us some things. Mama taught us some things. Hello. Another thing that my mother possessed was a Bible. To her, it was the book of all books. It was the main book. It was the textbook. Hallelujah. And from the time that we were born and old enough to understand things, I knew the praying had already started. But the Bible reading and sitting on my mother's knee and looking at the picture Bibles and the stories that were told. I taught to never put another book on the Bible. Don't ever put another book on the Bible. They taught me, don't take your glass of water and put it on the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is a powerful thing. Hello, I want to honor God's Word. I don't want to dishonor the Word of the Lord. Lord, help me today. She believed in old-fashioned things which the Bible taught. She did not argue things that were in the Bible. Her attitude was never, well, prove it to me. She had already had too many things proved to her. She believed in honesty. This is old-fashioned things to some people. She believed in honesty. She believed in purity. She believed in hard work. She believed in truthfulness. She believed in kindness. She believed in love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something else she believed in was what we call a switch. Anybody know anything about a switch? Hallelujah. We never did get bloody over a switching. But our legs felt like they were on fire. Hallelujah. You pick out something, you know, that you can get to them with. Hallelujah. And it's limber, but it don't break. And you just hit us coming and going back and forth. Ooh-wee. She believed in that. She still believes in it. I said she still believes in it. Hallelujah. Mama had a switch. And I want to tell you about her love. She never switched you beyond what you should be switched. She probably thought, she made us believe at times that we wasn't going to make it. But it wasn't near as bad as we thought it was. One of my brothers was always the first one to take it. He'd run over to the line. He wanted to get it through. Hallelujah. Some of us other ones, we pled the blood and done everything we knew to do. But it didn't change the switching. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. Hallelujah. Mama still believes that, and she's 92 years old. She believes in it. Hallelujah. Mother was one that had a path to the throne of grace. What I mean by that, she knew the art of praying. She knew the business of getting down to what was needed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Seemed like I've just missed a lot I ought to be talking about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ladies' prayer meeting was on Tuesday morning. My mother, during that time, was the director of that. The ladies would come and they would pray. I can still remember laying under the pew while they prayed. Had confidence in my mama's prayers. Let me go back and say this. I never heard a word spoke against our church from the lips of my mama. I never heard her make a statement that would discourage me about church situations. We came to a time in our life when there was great trouble in a church. Great trouble. My mother had a dream in the middle of all that and saw the church that we'd been in for so long. And every person in every pew was overcovered with ice. There was something that told my mother we got to get out of here. It was a hard decision. One of the harder decisions of my life. And in the dream, there was a bus sitting there waiting on us when we got out of that church. My mother had sensibility. She was sensitive. She didn't do a lot of talking. But it was times like this that she opened her mouth and she said, "We got to do something." Hallelujah. Pathway to the throne of grace. She prayed. She still prays. Hallelujah. Mother had a tremendous task. That was another thing that she possessed. Raising kids, full-time job, early in the morning to late at night. Being an example. Never talking around any of us arguments with her husband, "I think I'll just leave." Can you imagine what that does to a child when a mama says, "Well, I think I'll just leave. I'm through with all of this." It was not anything that I had to crawl over to try to survive. Hallelujah. My mother helped me. My mother was with me. She was a tremendous mother. Hallelujah. She was loyal to the church. Hallelujah. She was an example. Hallelujah. I thank God for true mothers. Lastly, she was a mother that had hope. She never said anything that would extinguish hope in my life. Moving to Georgia, it would be 25 years ago now, the month of October. Moving to Georgia was one of the hardest things my mother experienced. My mother and my dad stood there and talked with me, not asking me to not go, but just saying, "This is going to be hard. But we want the will of God. We want God's will above everything else." And so we loaded up and we headed out. We sold our house and got a trailer to live in when we got here. Hallelujah. And God's been good to us. And I'm glad it was an encouragement from my mother, especially. How long has it bothered her? She talked about it yesterday. Not in a bad way. But it was tough, y'all, moving off. Hallelujah. But I'm glad for mothers. Glad for precious mothers that are here today. That verse that speaks about Jerusalem is the mother of us all. I wanted to try to present this, and it hadn't gone as well as I wanted it to go. But I wanted to present this in a way that would not discourage someone that's had a bad life, that there's nothing for you. You see, the redemption that we have, the power of God's presence living within us, enables us to overcome everything that would try to destroy us or injure us. We don't have to spend the rest of our life bemoaning what took place. And I'm not minimizing the suffering that people go through in life. But I'm here to tell you that there's a spirit of motherhood that's in this church. And it's not just women, it's men, it's children, it's teenagers, that we feel a need of embracement, of letting people that come in here that don't know what they're getting into and don't know the treasure that's waiting on them. Hallelujah. We want to communicate with them and let them realize it don't matter. You hear a story like this and you say, well, my mother sure wasn't like that, or my daddy sure wasn't like that. Home life was not anywhere close to that. Just letting you know from the bottom of my heart that the slack can be pulled up. And that what works in your life when it's all over with will be as great and powerful as what has worked in the life of people that have been raised in the church all their life. Don't go to hell because you just all you can think about is the terrible things and the awful things. And I don't know a lot of what you're facing because I haven't been through it. And I understand that. I'm not being naive. But I'm telling you, on this Mother's Day, Jesus can be a mother to you. The church certainly pictures a mother to everybody that's here. By ourselves, we would not survive. I'm saying by ourselves, we'll not survive. Nobody has ever been saved by themselves. Just read it in the Bible and you'll find out. Maybe in big numbers and maybe in little numbers. Maybe just one or two. But I want to tell you, one or two through the Holy Ghost can save your life and can change your world to where you don't realize, you don't feel like you're an orphan the rest of your life and you live in depression. I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. And I want to tell you that this church loves you. And I want to tell you that I love you. Hallelujah. 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 Let's stand today. Hallelujah. We never have to lose hope. Sometimes it feels like hope is faltering. Sometimes we feel like that it's so close to maybe not working anymore. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, hope always crosses the finish line. You just hold on. You just make up in your mind. Whatever else I need that I don't have, hope's going to make up the difference. I'm going to survive. All the injuries I've had in the past are going to be healed. Hallelujah. The Lord's going to help me and the church is going to help me. And my friends in the church are going to help me. I want to tell you, we're a family here together. We are a family here together. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what country you came from. There's nobody better than anybody else. Every one of us need help. And God is present here to help us. Hallelujah. And Mother's here today. She's here. She's here to help us. I want you to bow your heads today. And I want you to thank God. Let's thank the Lord. Let's have a prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the apostolic church. Thank you for a church that opens doors to all people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for old-time religion. That's another thing that Mama believed in was Acts 2:38. She
believed in Matthew 3 and 5. You must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, for the remission of the sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you and to your children and those that are far off. It don't matter what your children's been through. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter. The solution is here. The problem's here. The medicine is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for mother. We thank you, God, for motherhood. We thank you, Lord, for good caretakers of these little babies that are being born into our church. Oh, we thank you so much for these wonderful, wonderful mothers that are so excited, hallelujah, about their children, and they love their children. Oh, let mercy and grace and love fill this place today, Lord. Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I know we got a lot of people here today. Why don't you lift your hands wherever you're at? Come on, let's pray a prayer that'll touch heaven today. Let's thank the Lord. There may be somebody here that feels specific. It's time for me to move to the front to pray right now. Maybe you don't have the Holy Ghost. Maybe you don't feel like you're ready to meet God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me invite you to come. We want to give you the room first up here at the front. Hallelujah. We want to give you plenty of room up here at the front to come down these aisles and come in these altars. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We're here because of this church. Hallelujah. We're here for mama. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Oh God, hallelujah, I want to be like the church. I want to be like my mama. Hallelujah, I want to believe like they believe. I want to have a spirit like they have. Hallelujah, I want to be easily touched like mama's easily touched. Come on, church, I want to hear you pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we love you, God. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. We believe you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Heal my sister.